My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Inside the Star on the home of America's team, it's Sean and Bobby on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. That's what Peyton Russell runs, much to the chagrin of the G-Bag Nation.
Well, runs it into the ground.
Did they return more shots at us yesterday? Tolo D was spying for me.
They allegedly did. Here's the thing. I didn't like the Zach Wolchuk energy that came at me in text yesterday about this.
We were going to have Wolchuk sit in tomorrow or Friday as a guest host, but now Dawson's out sick, so I don't think that's happening.
I said, he texted me at noon yesterday. He said, glad you got 2 segments out of all that, LOL.
No, okay.
I said, LOL, I needed it. I said, it was a little dead. And he replied back, do better prep. Whoa, okay. Mm. I said, that is good prep. He goes, I don't know. Debating if given Peyton's response, even some airtime, I don't know if it's worth it.
Oh,
so, okay, all right, yeah. All right, Zach.
Made it sound like we were kind of like dragging this out for content purposes.
He was. I think that.
I guess we need 8 more people on our show. Prep will be easier. You know,
best show payoffs. You know, once a week during NFL season.
That's right.
Take a segment and a half.
Just say 7 words a day, and prep's easy. Right? Exactly. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. And no, we did not need it, and we don't need Zach tomorrow.
We don't need you. We don't need anybody.
Although I would like to have one of them Friday in Saxy.
Yeah, it would be good. We are going to be in Saxy. Yes.
With maybe the coolest looking giveaway we've had. This flask.
The flask is super cool, and it's the it's like red, and it looks like it's like got this leather, this faux leather bounding around it, and it looks really nice. It's got Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour on it. But yeah, we will be out there in Saxey, which is close to the Wiley area, where Wiley was one of our best, you know, turnouts last year. And so Saxey, make sure you show up big. 5805 Bryan Street. That's Saxey, Texas. 75048 is the zip code there, but we'll be in Saxey from 6 to 10. Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp will be out there, thanks to Firehouse Heating and Air. So come on out, hang out. We'll have a good old time.
And I think Palmer is one of the 10 finalists of the 2024 Big Tex Choice Awards. And then he sent me whatever this concoction is with powdered sugar on it. That looks absolutely dangerous, but the chicken sandwich for me, I mean, it is an awesome chicken sandwich from Palmer. So come on out Friday and enjoy it.
Love Nashville hot chicken, and his is good. His is very good.
Very good. All right, Inside the Star, Bobby, some updates on draft picks.
Yeah, I think that the Cowboys have had a lot of success in recent years with, obviously, their draft and develop strategy. That's how they've been able to stay competitive while not dipping into the free agent market, is because they've hit so frequently on so many of their draft picks. And we've done studies before and comparisons across the league that show in a variety of different ways how the Cowboys drafting strategy has hit at a higher rate than just about anybody in the league since Will McClay took over. So that's all very positive. This cut down day might be a little bit of a tough one to swallow on a couple of different players here. So Junior Fehoko was a guy that they drafted last year in the 4th round defensive lineman, a guy who had defensive end, three technique flexibility, could go inside, outside. And this was a guy that Dan Quinn was pumped about, was super excited about Junior Foco. Junior Foco didn't really get anything going last year because of a shoulder issue and dealt with injuries all season. So didn't really get any opportunity to contribute in a meaningful way. And this preseason, with a pretty full defensive line room in terms of bodies that they have in there and guys that they're trying to figure out what they can do, Fajoco in these games and in these practices has been invisible. I mean, just completely non-existent. And I know a lot of people tend to hear that the Cowboys will say, well, you know, they don't give up on their draft picks that quick, typically. Not typically, but they've done it. In 2020, Reggie Robinson was a guy they took in the fourth round out of Tulsa, and he was there for 1 year, and then he was released. Junior Fajoco, this is his second season. His sponsor is gone from the building in Dan Quinn. I would be interested in at least calling the Commanders and seeing about two guys, actually. Let me talk about the second real quick. Eric Scott, who is a sixth-round pick, and you go, okay, well, what's a sixth? A lot of sixth-round picks get cut. The issue is they gave up. They didn't just trade up. They acquired that pick by giving up a fifth rounder in 2023. So they used two draft picks, a fifth and a sixth, on Eric Scott. That's how much they wanted him here. And Eric Scott has fallen pretty far out of favor. Brian, you've heard him say it, thinks they've already made up their mind on Eric Scott and that he's out. And so if you're going to end up moving on from Eric Scott and cutting him, those are two big Dan Quinn guys. Do you call up the Commanders and just say, what can we work out here? Can I swap you Fajoco for John Ridgeway? Can I swap you Eric Scott for a seventh round pick? Just cobble something together there. But those are two picks that are not looking great at the moment in terms of the return that you're going to get on them. The other one that has been a bit of a disappointment from 2022, fifth rounder Matt Wiletzko, who most people around the league, I think, in the immediate aftermath, I wasn't as familiar with Wiletzko when they picked him. And I had talked to some people around the league, and consensus was Dallas got good value there, that he was picked about a round later than a lot of people thought he should have been. A lot of folks thought he was a fourth round pick. A lot of good athleticism. He has been banged up the entire time that he's been here, the first 2 years. This year, when he's gotten into these games, some of the run stuff has been okay. Some of the run blocking has been okay. But, man, it was eye-opening watching him against the Raiders in pass protection, I thought. Ultimately, they didn't give up any big sacks, or there wasn't any issues in terms of like a bunch of negative plays for him. But there were throws having to be rushed because Wiletzko was not providing even minimal resistance. And for a team that is so desperate for tackle right now, with Adoga likely going to IR, and you've got just basically Guyton and Steele that you feel comfortable with, it would seem like Wiletzko should have an in to be on the roster pretty easily. I don't think it's that easy for him. Even with no pure tackles on the roster outside of those top two, I don't think as of today Wiletzko's making the team. As essentially a fifth-round pick from a couple years ago, it's just there's been no development. In fact, Broadus has said he thinks you could make the argument Wiletzko has gotten worse, like he's regressing. And so Wiletzko is another one. The guy that maybe is turning things around a little bit and could be an argument for patience with Wiletzko, patience with Fajoco, is that the guy that they drafted in 2021 in the fourth round, that was Josh Ball, who Ball has been bad for the first 3 years he was here. And they've tried to work him at left side, right side, guard, tackle, tried to do a bunch of different things with him. It hasn't worked out to this point. Josh Ball has been better this training camp. And with all the flexibility that they need for a guy to play both sides, play inside, outside, he might have saved himself from getting cut. He might make it to the end of his four-year contract, which after his first year, I thought there was no chance that was going to happen. So he might be an argument for staying the course, running things, you know, seeing things through to the end with Wiletzko, Fajoco, and Eric Scott. But right now, those are looking like day three misses that they had felt pretty good about when they first picked him.
I want to check in with the Cleveland Browns since you're talking a lot of offensive line here. Like a nerd, I'm looking at preseason updates over the weekend and week two recaps, and it looks like the Cleveland Browns may have a lot of problems up front. Of course, Cowboys week one opponent. That's the only reason we're talking about them. A concerning offensive tackle situation was only exacerbated against the Vikings.
already practicing without starting tackles, Jedrick Willis Jr. and Jack Conklin, who are on the PUP list. Cleveland lost three more tackles on Saturday. That's five gone. James Hudson, Hakeem, whatever. You don't know the names. All of whom have taken reps at left tackle, did not return after leaving the game with injuries. The ailments left the Browns to play Lorenzo Thompson, an undrafted rookie at left tackle, during the second half. There's been no update from Stefanski. This was on Sunday, so maybe he gave an update like yesterday or Monday. But Willis and Conklin had season-ending injuries in 2023. And he recently said one of them injured the MCL on his right knee last November, closer to returning, but they got a lot of problems, it sounds like, up front injury-wise, checking in with the Browns going up against Mike Zimmer's D.
Yeah, when Cleveland is when Cleveland's healthy, their offensive line is really good. They have one of the better ones in the NFL.
Yeah, because Broadus talked about yesterday how much this run defense is going to be challenged game one.
Yeah, and this is one where they've had so much success running the ball because of the way that they get movement with their offensive line and the things that they're able to do there. And so they've got one of the better units when it's all good, when it's all healthy. But this is also one of the reasons why so many teams are hesitant to get rid of any offensive line depth that you have. When you look at the offensive line and say, oh, we have a surplus here. I can move somebody. Maybe I don't want this. I've got five guards. I'm not going to need all of them. Let me trade one of them and try and get something else here. Let me figure out some depth that I can get with these guys on the offensive line. The reason why teams are so hesitant is because of what the Browns are running into right now. It's the classic line of it's a war of attrition and, you know, all those sort of changes that the roster goes through with injuries and everything else that you find yourself in dire straits pretty quickly. Dallas feels like they're in that realm similarly right now in terms of tackle. They at least have their starters, though. But outside of that, they don't have anybody behind there. It's setting up right now where it feels like you'd almost prefer to be the Cowboys right now heading into week one, starting a rookie tackle across from Myles Garrett, than have to have Micah Parsons going up against maybe your sixth tackle if guys aren't healthy. And I think a couple weeks ago, nobody would have envied the Cowboys having to go up against Myles Garrett with either Adoga or a rookie. But this is something where now they look like they're in a better position.
Inside the Star, continuing here with Sean and Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider. Did you cover Schoon?
I did not cover Luke Schoonmaker. Let's touch on him. So Luke Schoonmaker, I think that there's some positive momentum in that direction. And I think the Cowboys feel like there's some positive momentum in that direction. Saturday's game against the Raiders was one where the thing that they thought Schoonmaker was going to be good at right away was in the run game. They thought he was going to provide strong blocking and be able to, you know, contribute in the run game and be an extra offensive lineman out there, essentially. And it wasn't good last year. I remember Dalton Schultz, when he was coming out of Stanford, was thought of as a pretty solid blocker, got to the NFL, had a lot of issues with it, and had cleaned it up by the time he was leaving here. He'd become a better-than-league average blocker. So we've seen this kind of regression before when they get to the NFL, and I think there was a concern that maybe that's Schoonmaker. Maybe Schoonmaker's not the guy in the run game that we thought he could be, and we know he wasn't contributing in the passing game the way that the Cowboys had projected that he might. The stuff you saw on Saturday against the Raiders was really encouraging. He was able to handle Max Crosby one-on-one at one point to seal off the edge and open things up for Deuce Vaughn. Broadus talked about it. The combo blocks that he got with Guyton on a couple of instances looked really good. He contributed in the pass game a little bit, was able to help, you know, be a security blanket for Trey Lance in this game. And the thing that I liked is there's a little bit of a opinion, it seems like, or an air around Luke Schoonmaker of too passive. He's always hurt, is, you know, dropping tough contested catches. Does he have like that nastiness to him that
the
you Ferg want a tight end?
Yeah. Ferg.
And he was mixing it up with Raiders players throughout that game, getting into shoving matches, you know, stepping in. And Brock Hoffman got hit by somebody after a play with the Raiders, and Schoonmaker ran right in there and blew the guy up. And so I think you're seeing the pressure starting to build on Schoonmaker, and it's giving you the type of results you want. He's showing a nastiness and edge and finally contributing the way you'd like to see.
Was Matt Pittman responsible for the fire at Cowboys training camp yesterday? What does he think
of Peyton revolutionizing the hot dog game and the huge, huge announcement that we have from Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church. It's a Meat Church Hump Day brought to you by our friends at Mr. Electric. Matt joins us live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Broaddus, final time from Oxnard, at least with us, coming up at 8:40 this morning here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy is out golfing in Gaylord, Michigan. Thanks for being a Tolo. And it is a Meat Church Wednesday with our boy Matt Pittman with a humongous announcement coming up here in a matter of minutes. But first, Matt, I don't know whether you heard, but our very own Peyton Russell is trying to change the game. He's seasoning hot dogs. What do you think of the idea and concept of seasoning hot dogs?
You know what's funny was I first saw someone do that last week on Instagram, and I kind of laughed out loud, and the video had done pretty well. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess you season everything else. Like, why? I mean, game changer, I guess.
What did they season it with?
I don't know. It wasn't Meat Church. I know that. So
these were
so good.
These were. There's some Blanco on them.
See, I mean, you're just ahead of your game.
I know. He's going to steal my sponsorship like Bassick did back in the day.
I need one.
He went salt, pepper, garlic. He went with the Blanco. And then he went with like a sweeter type of rub.
Sweet heat.
And I got to say, like after mocking and laughing him last week, and no offense to you, Matt, but, you know, hot dogs don't need more sodium. So, like, the salt, pepper, garlic, the Blanco was a little bit salty. I couldn't tell the difference, but the sweet heat, like, brought out, like, it was a different smell, it was a different flavor. And in the air fryer, man, don't hate on air frying hot dogs. So I just wanted to see what you thought of it.
You know, I would probably go with more of an all-purpose. Do whatever you want is what I tell people. But if it were me, I'm thinking I want, you actually said it, the sweetness. So, and I may even want a little heat, like honey hog hot. But did you cut it open? Did you, like, slice them open to, like, score them a little? Because that's something I saw, too.
No, I didn't. I just cut in half so it was easier for the guys to eat. But yeah, a lot of Tolos on the fan text were saying, you know, cut it open a little bit, you know, slit it a little bit.
That was my biggest problem, Matt.
Jared Sandler just cringed.
That was my biggest problem with it. I liked the taste of the Blanco on it the best.
God, you're such a whore.
No,
you're a Blanco whore.
I put Blanco in everything. I really do. Like, it is on everything. But the only problem was, like, it didn't stick to the hot dog. I felt like I was chewing the seasoning and chewing the hot dog, like, separately. So how would you, if you were going to season a hot dog, would you score it, Matt? Would you put some mustard on it as a binder? What would you do to the hot dog?
Binder.
Yeah, the main thing, I think you got to have a binder. And, I mean, I'd go mustard. When I'm at the State Fair eating corn dog, mustard is the only answer. So it naturally goes. So I would definitely go that. You know, I don't know if I think there's nothing wrong with scoring it, but I definitely put a binder on it. You know, it's really hard to stick to that I don't even know what a hot dog or bologna is. You know, it's like butts and lips and who knows. So, you need a binder.
Have the Dallas Cowboys launched the investigation into your whereabouts for the fire that happened yesterday at training camp, coincidentally, the day that you left Oxnard? And there were grills going out there.
His second fire, because you were not here for us at the firehouse last time when Matt disclosed to us that he burned like 5 acres as a kid.
What?
Okay, well, I don't know why you have to bring up old stuff. And for the record, Bobby, I would not report that it was 5 acres. It was 600 acres. I'm a professional.
Damn!
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Listen. No, I mean, let the record state that my flight landed in DFW at 5:30 yesterday. I was nowhere near that when it was reported.
Okay. And what was the experience like there? You got the behind-the-scenes VIP treatment with the Cowboys. Who'd you run into? What'd you do?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I was a guest of football operations staff. And so, you know, I was staying there at the hotel with all the staff and the players and, you know, ate with everyone and, you know, got to be at practice. And it was amazing. I mean, I've always said the Dallas Cowboys have been totally amazing and gracious to my family. And so, you know, to be able to catch up with a bunch of players in kind of a more low stress environment than it is during the season was awesome. And just, you know, build better relationships with a lot of the staff that I work with over there through classes I've done with those guys and feeding the team and things like that. Like, they treated me like family, and it was awesome.
Matt Pittman on the D&M Leasing Hotline. It's a Meet Church Wednesday, and let's not waste any more time. I think two huge pieces of information with the announcements. You want to take it, or you want me to set it up? What do you want to do?
I feel like you should say it.
I do.
I mean, look, you break it, man.
I'm the professional broadcaster. Matt Pittman, maybe the face of Texas barbecue, viral, national, throughout the entire country, is going to pair his lifelong dream and obsession of the Dallas Cowboys with his lifelong obsession and dominance of the grilling game. And Matt Pittman is, as of today, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, number one, and number two, a Dallas Cowboys Matt Pittman Meat Church rub is going to be specially made. Congratulations. That's big time. It's not even a bucket list thing because you probably could never even have imagined it.
It's so crazy. You know, like, I'm blessed that I've turned my passion into a business. And so, you know, and I'm able to like travel out to training camp, everything's a vacation or whatever. And I grew up thinking like it'd be the ultimate to be an athlete. And then as I got older, I realized, well, there's no shelf life to what I do. And so, you know, this is like my 26th year or 27th year of going to every game, starting out with, you know, I was an usher at the old Texas Stadium, was a water boy for the cheerleaders for a while. This will be, I think, my 21st year of season tickets, been a fan my entire life. And really, you know, my love of cooking really took off in the red parking lot at the old Texas Stadium. And it really crafted what I do today. I always say that my cooking is very seasonal. So obviously I don't just do barbecue. I grill by virtue of the Cowboys having a Thanksgiving game. You know, I learned to fry turkeys. I did seafood boils in the parking lot. You know, so I have these old photos of me cooking out there, not knowing what the heck I was doing. But, you know, someone saying we need someone that can cook at the tailgate, and me raising my hand is really what started this whole thing. So, you know, to go this many years later and officially work with the iconic, you know, most iconic team in sports and one of the biggest brands in the world, frankly, I never could have dreamed this up. And we did so much with the team last year that it just made sense. I got asked all the time, like, are you official? Are you working with these guys? And have a lot of, you know, player relationships, and it's just been like so much fun. So I never could have dreamed up that this could have happened. And it's so natural. We work with the coolest brands in the world, and to add this to it is like, I mean, to say it's a dream come true is, you know, obvious, but it's pretty crazy. I'll say that.
Now, we're not going to have to hear and deal with like you doing commercials on our radio station or anything like the Dallas Cowboys radio network or anything like that, with Peyton professionally runs and dominates, as we found out this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was told that basically I'm like a Matthew McConaughey. I mean, the thing that my book does with ladies and such. So I've already recorded three commercials, three radio spots,
whoa,
I would say.
Oh, wow, you got more spots than Bassick.
Yeah, learn from the best, you know.
All right, so Matt, first off, congratulations. What is the – I'm curious, what goes into the process of – developing this rub? Like, do you ever rub in mind where you're like, oh, I'm already going to do this?
Yeah.
Or is it like you're getting commissioned, like when a studio says, hey, we're commissioning you to write three movies. Are you developing it now? And when you develop it, are you trying to, you mentioned it being seasonal. Are you trying to make it like, all right, let me come up with a rub that's going to be more oriented for food you would eat during football season or something like that?
So we are developing it now. It's not a recipe that we have on the shelf. We're not going to white label something that we have or anything like that. But I do feel like it's important to be used at a tailgate because, you know, I was called the king of tailgating on Barbecue Pitmasters by Myron Mixon.
Wow.
And I've kind of stuck with it ever since then. And so I want it to be able to be used during football season. You know, it doesn't have to go on everything, but I do think it needs to be an all-purpose. So that's currently where my focus is. We're working on developing art concepts that would be, you know, attractive. Because I've said, if I'm a Cowboys fan, you know, first off, you love barbecue, but I'm buying a seasoning, you know, that's developed for tailgating with the Dallas Cowboys and Meat Church. So it's a grand slam. It's a touchdown.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm actually developing it now, working on it fast because we want to take advantage of football season. So I'm hard at work on it right now.
So official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys means what in terms of game day or other responsibilities? Like, what are you going to be doing?
So, you know, unfortunately, I'm not going to be on the sideline next to Big Mike coaching the boys up about barbecue. But a lot of it will be, you know, kind of determined. I mean, as you guys know, I cooked a few times for some of the players last year. And I have a lot of mutual partnerships. So between Miller Lite and Yeti and Luke Casey, brands that I already work with, you know, they're going to want to do some things together. You know, I host a Q Barbecue Fest last year that's coming up in October. And so as part of this, you know, I'm like, look, there's no better person to host that. So a lot of the things that we already did, but a whole bunch of it is now, you know, we're in meetings now discussing what it's going to look like with those various partners and things like that. I've worked with a few of the players to help get them grills to, you know, cook throughout the season. And a lot of the guys eat really healthy and clean through the season. So like I was visiting with Jalen Tolbert for a long time, helping him with fish 2 days ago. And he's got a Traeger coming, I think in a week. He's already got one, but he's getting one at his home and here in Dallas. And I'm going to head up and like help him with like specifically how to teach or how to cook some salmon and things like that. He eats a ton of fish during the season. So it'll be a lot of what we're doing, but I suspect that now that this is out and people will see the star on things that I wear that, you know, people are going to be like, ooh, we need to do a little more.
And Bobby, we made a tremendous mistake at training camp not getting Brandon Aubrey. Not only were we told that Brandon Aubrey was a fan or listener of the morning show, he's a barbecue foodie. Matt, Brandon Aubrey talking to you about grilling.
Yeah, this is actually really cool. So I did a class at Dak's house for some of the boys in the spring. And he was there with his wife. And we hit it off because we both used to be in IT. And so we were just talking about that. Like his transition is amazing. And so we were chatting about that. And he reached out to me a few weeks later. And he said, you know, I've never been a griller. But after your presentation, I got really interested. And so I helped him get a Traeger. Unfortunately, it showed up like 2 days before he left for Oxnard. But I ran into him right off the bat at camp. And first thing I said was, I think that kick is still in the air. And secondly, let me know if you want me to come up and give you a hand when you get back. That's really cool that a guy just says, man, what you did inspired me and I want to get into it. So we'll see where he goes with it.
Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, with the big announcement. A Dallas Cowboys rub is coming out and he is the official pitmaster of America's team. So did this like get to Jerry level? Did you negotiate with Jerry Jones over like salt and garlic and pepper
No.
His deal got done. So
exactly. Like I work with an amazing team: Marshall, Rolla, Brett, Jacob. Like these guys they didn't have to go. They didn't have to go to Jerry, but you know they got it done. So
all right, rank the California celebrity sightings 1, 2, 3 between Adam Levine, Cameron Diaz, and who you told me you saw at the airport. Flying commercial.
The first day got off to like a crazy start. I show up to DFW and I'm in the TSA. Well, I'm walking up to the TSA line and I see these guys in front of me and I'm like, that's a very rock starish look. And it ends up being Tommy Lee of Motley Crue. And he sat beside me for 10 minutes. I didn't say anything to him and nobody budged. So I thought that was nuts that he was there with us unbathed on a commercial airline. We went to dinner in Montecito and we're sitting there at a table and there's these steps in front of me. It's a super nice place, by the way. And I look up and Adam Levine comes walking down the stairs, and in his party, not with him, is Cameron Diaz. So it's kind of a trip. I snuck a little picture, and I'm pretty sure Cameron Diaz was yelling at me. So everybody gave me a hard time forever that my shot of one of my top three celebrity crushes was ruined in California. So that was the only bad news. But
Adam Levine was a top three crush? He's a good looking man.
The Tommy Lee sighting was the best. That was in Dallas, but I'm a huge Motley Crue fan, so that was like a pretty cool fanboy moment for me. I can't believe I didn't say anything, to be honest with you.
Was Cameron Diaz yelling at you like angry, or was she like going like, oh my god, that's Matt Pittman from Meat Church?
It was definitely that. It was the latter. Yeah. No, I actually don't think she was yelling at me, but someone took – I had my phone on the table, like, sneaking, like, you know, just to kind of, like, see the moment. And so I think someone closer took her picture because she's like, don't take pictures. And we were all just, like, cracking up because we didn't realize it was her. We were taking Adam Levine's picture. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Cameron Diaz.
The worst is if it's dark and your damn flash screws you over. Like, boom, there's the flash that goes off there. But maybe he's used to taking photos. Q Barbecue Fit what?
The Fantex has a great name for the rub, Matt. They say you need to call it, 469 says you need to call it All In, All Purpose.
Oh! Yo, we need the Tolos to name it. We need the Tolos to name the rub.
The Tolos are undefeated.
That is awesome. Hey, man, congratulations. You deserve it, brother. Thank you for allowing us to break it here on the show. You know how much I love barbecue and grilling, and I can't wait to keep us updated. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. It's going to be awesome. I think it's going to enrich our spot. It's going to be super cool every time we get together to be able to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, Rich is right for some of us here. Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church. It's a Meat Church Wednesday. Every other hump day.
Hump day.
With Sean and RJ. It's Bobby Belt in Choppy's chair. And Brian Broaddus will join us in the chair one final time from Oxnard. Let's get the latest from camp. How did practice go yesterday? Double B. Brian Broaddus is next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Who are the winners and losers from Oxnard training camp? The biggest winner is Brian Broaddus, who's been a champion for the last couple weeks, showing up here at 6:40 California time every single day to hang out and talk Cowboys with us. For the final time before he heads back to Dallas, Brian Broaddus joins us from the tennis courts in Oxnard. Brian, how you doing? And are you feeling the sadness today?
Yes, I am. I'm very sad. Everybody talks about, it's Super Bowl day, it's opening day, it's all that stuff. And then, and then they say, well, you don't get to do this anymore. And so I'm disappointed. I'm sad. Yeah, you guys asked me to come on your show. I was happy to come on the show because that means I start my day talking football. And unfortunately, though, it all stops today as far as the training camp aspect of it. This thing went pretty fast for me. It usually, when you're working on the end of it, it sometimes goes pretty slow. But this end of it, getting to talk about it every day and being on podcasts and things like that has made this a lot of fun.
So do you think you'd feel the same for like Oates if you just lived out? We got your room in Frisco for OTAs, yeah. Mini camps, and then I'm going to throw in the combine for that week. How do you think your love of those would compare broadcasting like this compared to what you've been doing in California?
I love the practice aspect. Oh,
and let me throw in Senior Bowl too. Sorry.
No, I love the practice aspect of this thing. I love the every day of knowing that I'm going to go on a practice field and watch, them trying to build this football team. And, I know you guys are going to ask me a bunch of questions about the best players and the disappointing ones and all that. And you kind of figure that out watching practice, and watching these games. And the fact that they had a couple of workouts against the Rams, I thought was really, really cool. And so that part of it, I enjoyed that the most. I love the combine, though. I'll tell you what. You guys, next year, if you don't go to baseball, and I'm putting this plug in our boss's ears if they're listening right now, you guys need to go to the combine.
Yes.
And broadcast. If you're not going to broadcast from training camp in baseball, we need to start our day in Indianapolis, Indiana with your show. Mm-hmm. And you guys, you will learn more about what your team's going to try and do and run into people that can help you with that. Your shows are good. They'll be even better. Starting the day in the combine. Throw that thing to us in Arizona and we'll cover that baseball stuff. So, if your sponsor's out there, think about sending that morning show to the combine because they will learn a lot and the shows will be really, really good.
I have tried to tell Sean Sharif, which, by the way, Brian Broaddus joining us this entire time out there in Oxnard, California, is presented by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Thank them.
Speaking of sponsors, really, who do a great job. Yeah, thank
great
you, Sagamore.
Thank you so much.
Brian, I've tried to tell Sean repeatedly over the years, and not that he hasn't, like, believed me, but you can reinforce this. I don't think there's a setting Sean Sharif would feel more content drunk than being able to go out to the steakhouses at night and run into top NFL people just every night of the week.
Sean, you'd never get into a car and you walk everywhere. Yeah, it's a little chilly. You bundle up. It's kind of like dealing with the Super Bowl. But the potential guests that you get, it's better than the Super Bowl. It is. Yeah, I mean, you're talking to, like, you know, I talking to actors and actresses and people trying to push, you know, their products and stuff. That's cool. These people are there talking football. Yeah. They're there, you know, breaking it all down. If the Cowboys, say the Cowboys do have a high pick, and, you know, for our sake, I hope not, just because that means they had a really, really bad season. That's tough to cover. But the content you can get from the combine is incredible. And the nighttime, too, you learn more walking around and, like Bobby says, going to eat dinner and bumping into people and stuff. And, you know, it's really, really good. Training camp, combine are my two favorite things that we ever do.
All right, Brian Broaddus, I got some Oxnard awards for you since this is your last day out there.
Sure.
All right, just in a vacuum, the best overall player you saw out at training camp this year.
I think there were three. And I'm sorry, I gotta do this. And you can rank them whatever order you want.
Sure.
Tyler Smith was by far one of the best players I saw. You talk about every single day lining up and doing something that you go, okay, I see why this guy's kind of a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of a player. Micah Parsons wrecked shop every day. It didn't matter if it was his own team or the Rams team. They couldn't block him when it came to that kind of stuff. And then Dak throwing the football, having to deal with Mike Zimmer and what they were doing in the – you know, kind of putting this defense in, the disguises, they challenged him in this camp. They really did. And I thought he was consistent throughout throwing the ball, you know, whether it was down in the red zone, in the field, wherever he had to throw the ball, you know, and I thought the decision-making and things were good. So I'd say Tyler Smith, Micah Parsons, and Dak would be the three guys that I would point out there.
What addition to Micah's game did you notice him add that stood out in the practices, if any?
He looks actually slimmer, and I mean slimmer in a way. He's still a, you know, good-looking player. He doesn't look as bulky as he was, and I think it's helping him. You know, he's had explosiveness. He's got quickness. He just now can take his body and turn it sideways and still get up the field. He has found ways to attack these blockers by getting small. And I mean getting small where they can't get hands on him. If you watch the really good pass rushers in the National Football League, they will never let an offensive tackle or a blocker get their hands on him. They will find a way to contort, move, get small, turn. Mike is getting this down now where it's like, okay, when you put your hands up on him, one of those hands is not going to hit him. The other, you know, maybe you'll get him with the one, but you're not going to get him with the second one. And I think that's what he's done, a really good job of figuring out how to break people down. And when you can break people down, you can pass rush.
Now, the concerns about him or some of the questions have been, right, physicality end of the year. If he's lighter or smaller, is that a problem?
I don't know if it's a problem. We haven't seen him be lighter. And maybe lighter means that his conditioning might be better. Mm. You know, you tend to, like, lose weight as the season goes along anyway. He might be the opposite of that direction. Yeah, there's some things at the very end. I'm just saying what I've seen from him, his bag of tricks has expanded. And, I mean, the bag of tricks of how to free himself from blockers. And if he's freeing himself from blockers, that's saving wear and tear on him. You know?
Brian Broaddus joining us talking about final Oxnard awards from his time out in training camp, which ends today. Brian, the most disappointing player for you at training camp?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of them. Eric Scott, I felt like had a really good OTAs and mini camps and stuff, and I kind of felt like that he was going to compete for a position or a roster spot here. And then Brevin Spann Ford, I was told nothing more that this guy was a blocker. This guy was a big-time blocker. You know, kind of study him. Yeah, you saw that at Michigan. There were things that he was able to do and in the running game. I don't think either one of these players is going to make the team. And I know Jerry came out yesterday and told everybody that the tight end room is going to be a tough cut. If Brevin Spann Ford is a tough cut, it's because they guaranteed him $250,000. That's why it's a tough cut. But those are a couple of guys right there that I kind of felt like, you know, maybe Eric Scott was maybe on the right path. His sponsors are gone. It looked like he was doing well in minicamp and OTAs. He really didn't carry it over into training camp. And then again, Spann Ford, they're looking for a big body that could block at the point of attack and tight end. And I don't think they found it in this kid. I could be wrong about that, but the initial indications are that's not the case.
The most surprising player, in a good way, the guy who
we got out there. Maris Leofau. I there were things at Notre Dame that he did well. I had questions about the pick because I was thinking about, man, they're going to need a running back here at some point in time, you know. And I really probably didn't give him enough credit. The kid's got really good instincts. He's around the ball. He, you know, there's some questions about his ability to tackle coming out of Notre Dame. I don't think that's going to be a problem initially from what I've seen. But he's been the most surprising because I didn't give him nearly enough credit after he got drafted. But he, when you watch him live, the way that he's able to diagnose the play, find the ball, get in position, and be close to the finish. I mean, they're not tackling people in practice. He made improvement from the Rams game to the last game against the Raiders. This kid's got a chance to be pretty darn good for you.
The most maddeningly inconsistent player you saw during
camp. It's Mozzie Smith. I just can't figure out exactly, you know, there's really some good days, and then there's some days where he reverts back to a guy that really, you know, doesn't have a clue about technique, and they try really hard to work on his technique. And so, he might make an improvement one or two plays, and then the next they go to another period, and he looks like he kind of reverts back to the guy that, you know, that you're kind of saying, well, you know, he needs to get off that block better. Wow, how did he show a pass rush in that previous period but can't get any pass rush right now? Why? Why is he not playing off the ball here? Yeah, he's been a little maddening to watch during this training camp practices.
Was all of this on his Michigan tape or something surprisingly different?
Michigan played him in what they read and react system. And so read and react means it's almost what they call two gap, Sean, where they extend their hands and then they look left, they look right, and then they react to the football.
Okay.
And so if you even watch Chris Jenkins, who was just recently drafted from Michigan, Michigan's got some players that have that are good pass rushers, but they're all edges. They're all edge guys. They're inside players or more read and react guys. I'll be interested to see if, in fact, because Chris Jenkins, when you watched him at Michigan, you're like, okay, now I see what the deal is with Mozzie Smith. They felt like that maybe they can convert Mozzie to more of a guy that could probably play with his hands and then get off the block. But, you know, there's times where, you know, he reverts back to his Michigan scheme and, you know, it causes him to be a little late off the ball. I think he's gotten better getting off the ball. But there's times where you still see he's the last guy going.
And finally, who was just flat out the most exciting highlight reel player you saw out there?
I don't know if I would call it an exciting highlight reel because I don't think there were always highlights. I'll tell you the guy that I felt like that I was excited to see make plays, and that was Jalen Tolbert. When we came into camp, I was thinking that Brooks and Tolbert would be in a battle for maybe even the, you know, for that third spot. It was really close when it started, and then Tolbert clearly pulled away from him. I know that Brooks had a couple of plays down the field and stuff like that. You watch Tolbert practice, he makes plays during practice. That's exciting to me that he came in with the attitude of like, okay, I have to be better. I can't play at the level I was where I'm getting 18 catches and not doing anything, that kind of thing. He's got to be better for this team, and I think that when he had a really good offseason, he got himself in condition. He got himself ready to play. He's been more consistent, and it is good to see that the way he's coming to his, taking it to his job, it's exciting that he's going to be a contributor to this offense.
You made our show better, our life easier, and thank you so much for doing this. I'm down, please, every single year. Brian brought us the football machine and the hardest worker at the fan, at least for this week.
Yeah, and Brian, we got a we'll have a gift bottle of Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey waiting for you when you get back.
There you go. I appreciate that. You guys, thanks for having me on your show every day here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about football. I do enjoy this so much, but you guys helped me a lot along the way, and thank you again to you guys.
Safe travels. Thank you, brother.
Take care.
Brian brought us leaving Oxnard. What an absolute treat that was for 2 weeks on DFW Sports Station. Around the rest of the NFL, we actually liken the new rules, 5 trades that could still take place, and how has your woman changed you the most? Final hour, Hump Day Edition. Hump Day. After this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.